Last week we heard of Jesus raising a dead man. The dead son of a widow, Jesus raised him up again to life so that he might serve his mother and comfort her in her old age. And the news spread, and it spread far. Verse 17 said that it went throughout Judea. Jesus was up in the north in Galilee, Judea down in the south. Judea is where Jerusalem is and the rulers. It had come down to there. Now one man who was down there was John. John the Baptist. We met John at the beginning of this book when Angel Gabriel came and told of his birth. Zechariah and Elizabeth, his parents, received that news. And then we met him again, not so long ago, when he began to preach, as he began to tell the people to be ready. He told them, the Messiah is coming, get ready, that the Messiah will judge, that he's come to cleanse this nation. He's come to divide the good from the wicked. The good wheat in his field he will bring into his barn, but all the chaff, all the tares, all the weeds, he will burn up with unquenchable fire. Be ready, repent, and turn to the Lord whilst you can. That was his preaching. But now, he was in prison. That's why he doesn't come to Jesus himself. He sends two disciples instead. He was in prison because he had preached against the sins of King Herod. King Herod, who did many evil things. Especially he took his own brother's wife. He took the one called Herodias as his own wife. And John preached against it. He didn't hide. He didn't preach about other things. But when he saw the sins of Herod, he preached to him against those sins. And for his boldness and for his faithfulness, he was put into prison. And a little time later, Herod had him beheaded, his head cut off. And these must be dark days for John, hard days. His calling was to preach, but now he's been silenced. He's no longer a free man, and he can see perhaps his death approaching. He can see the end coming. He had preached the Messiah. He had preached that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. He had said, look, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. He had said, this is the Son of God. He is the one full of the Spirit. He is the one who's come from heaven. I'm just from the earth, but he's the one who's come down from heaven. But now he asks, are you the one who is coming? Should we look for another? Now the Jews all believed that someone was coming. They all believed there was a coming one. They were all hungry for God to bring salvation to them, for God to overcome the powers of darkness and evil and sin, for God at last to show his justice. Is that what your heart longs for? Are you tired of the evil and wickedness of this world? Even tired of the coldness and darkness and evils of your own heart? And you long for God to come and put things right? Well, how did John begin to ask these questions? How can he say, is it really you? When he's seen the Spirit come down on Jesus. He's received a clear word that this is the promised one. And now he's hearing of these works of power. How can he now ask these questions? It seems John is now in days of darkness. In the prison, his liberty gone. And he isn't hearing that Jesus has now brought the judgment he preached. He isn't seeing that the wicked are being destroyed and the wicked are fleeing away. He isn't hearing that the control and power of corrupt rulers has been broken. Well, he hears of Jesus doing these good works up there in Galilee. Why doesn't he come down to Jerusalem? Why doesn't he come to the temple? Why doesn't he take the throne of David? Why doesn't he rule over Israel? Why is Jesus taking so long? Why is he just working in that distant place amongst the poor people? Where's his triumph? Why isn't he showing his glory? Where is the judgment? When will he make his move? When will he take the power and the throne? It seems that in the darkness, John has doubts. Even great men enter the darkness. Now, we're not told exactly what John was thinking. We're not told exactly the meaning of his question. Some people think he didn't doubt at all, that he just sent his disciples because he wanted them now to be with Jesus as he was sending them away. But it seems to me that he did doubt. His disciples didn't remain with Jesus. They came back to John with an answer. Jesus didn't say, now you've seen, then why don't you follow me? No, he sent back to John an answer. Even great men go through times of darkness. Your faith and your hope should not be in any man. The best men will let you down. You'll find out that they're weaker than you thought when you saw them and got to know them. Yet you'll find that there will be times when they are disappointing to you. Don't put your hope in any man. They will let you down. And we are much weaker than we realize. Even John the Baptist entered this darkness. And God will test you also. And you'll find out you have less strength than you knew. Don't put your hope in yourself. But when you're in the darkness, don't doubt those things that you are seeing in the light. We look around this field. We know what's here. We know there's those two trees. We know this structure is here. We know where the bush is. We know where the entrances are. But what about when darkness comes in the middle of the night? What's here? People start to doubt in the spiritual darkness. Are there really trees there? Is there really a way out? Can I really find my way? But don't doubt. What God has shown you in the light is still there. His love and his mercy in Christ, his love for his people, his plans to bring them forward and to take them to be where he is. His plans don't change. His promises don't change. Just because you're in the darkness, everything is still there. But John did the right thing when he had his doubts. He took them to Jesus. He didn't run away. He didn't give up. He didn't despair. He sent his questions to Jesus. When things are dark, call even more on Jesus. Don't drift away from him, but call on him even more to show you. Ask him, Lord, where are you? Show yourself again. Give me understanding how to walk even in darkness. Help me to remember that you're with me. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff shall guide me. Take your questions to him. That's John's question. That's verses 18 up to 20. But now let's look at Jesus' answer. Verses 21 and 22. The second part. How Jesus replied. Three things here. He was very gracious. He was very gentle with John. There's no anger. There's no condemnation. He doesn't question John and say, why are you doing this? How can you? Why are you doubting me? He doesn't act as offended. No, but he's gracious and gentle. The prophet Isaiah said about Jesus, he said, he won't put out the smoking, well, it's a candle. He won't put out the smoking wick He won't break the bruised reed. If Jesus finds you broken and hurting, he won't crush you. He won't say it's your fault and therefore he'll break you. No. Even if he finds the light has nearly gone out and it's just the smoking wick of a candle, he won't put it out. He'll protect it. He'll care. He'll bring it back into life again. That's how he deals with doubting children. Now, of course, in the Bible, we meet the unbelieving Pharisees as well. We meet all around those who laugh and those who mock at the Lord Jesus Christ. Just meet complete unbelief. Now, with such people, Jesus will be terrible and will show the fierceness of his anger and judgment. But with the child who's in the dark and who's reaching out for light again, who's reaching out to find where Jesus is, he's gentle and he's gracious. He says, come and see. In verse 21, he begins to show those messengers some things. He says, come and see. What does he show them? He showed them many works of power. Verse 21, at that time he cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. And then he says to the messengers, go tell John, tell him the things you've seen. The blind have seen again, the lame have walked, those with leprosy have been cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. Works of power, which showed that he was the Messiah. Works which were prophesied by the prophets, especially in the prophet Isaiah. Things that would show John more of the work of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 35, 5 and 6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, the mute tongue will shout for joy, water will gush forth in the wilderness, streams will flow in the desert. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. These were works and signs that the Messiah was there. He had to do these things to fulfill prophecy. John needed to see the work of the Messiah was bigger than he had known. That there were other prophecies to be fulfilled, not only the ones which John had preached. Jesus is much bigger than we imagine. His work is much greater than we realize. What were these particular works Jesus was doing? They are works of mercy to the poor and to the needy, for the suffering and for the oppressed. Jesus came to release them. These were the people who were suffering and being ignored. These were the nobodies, the weak and the helpless. Those who the nation had forgotten, and the rulers had abandoned them. But Jesus is the friend of such people. Jesus is the friend of the friendless. And he came to show his pity, his compassion, his love towards the needy. He comes to such places. Jesus isn't mostly to be found with the rich and the mighty and the powerful. Is to be found with the ordinary people, and especially the poor and the suffering. Have you met him yet? John needed to see this. It wasn't just great judgment on the wicked and the evil Pharisees and Sadducees who were leading the people the wrong way, not just to destroy them, which he did in due time. After he died and rose, judgment fell on the nation of Israel, but Jesus had much more to do. There was his quiet work. in the remote places of Israel. Now then, that was his answer. Then he sends back a challenge. We had his answer, now a challenge in verses 22 and 23. He says, go and tell John the things you've seen. He thinks John will understand. John will see and say, ah, yes, there's more to the Messiah than I'd been thinking of. But do you understand? These signs of the Messiah, they show his work, especially for the soul. The spiritually blind have their eyes open to see the glory of God. Those who are chained and in darkness and far from God are given a new heart and a new freedom to know him, to love him, to serve him. Those who are dead in their sins are given life and a relationship with God. Jesus is the one who defeats sin and death itself. The Bible tells us our great problem is that we are dead in sins. We don't love God. We don't love his ways. We love ourselves. We love our own ways. We're ready to push God far out of our lives. Oh, he can come in a little if he causes no problems. But if he's going to make demands of us, then we'll keep him far away. The Bible says we're dead. We can't love God or his ways until he comes and raises us up by a spiritual miracle. Jesus, as he did these signs, as he cleansed those who are unclean, as he gave life and strength to those who were crippled, he showed you what he does in salvation, what he does when he comes and forgives a person their sins and gives them new life. Has he done that work in you? Has he raised you up spiritually? Has the world become new to you? Has Jesus cleansed you, given you a new heart, a heart to serve God, a new energy to love him and follow him, whatever it costs? You won't just let him in and push him out at times, but now your life is for him. That's what a true Christian is. Do you see him? Have you come to him? Has he become your Lord and your Saviour? Have you asked him to forgive you and to make you a new person? Have you said, Lord Jesus, cleanse my soul. Give me a new heart and a new life to follow after you. Raise me up from my spiritual grave. Make me one of your children. Jesus gives a promise. It's our last thing. In verse 23, it says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Blessed is the man who does not fall away because of me. He's falling away and he's stumbling. When you're walking along, but there's some rock in your way and you don't see it, it causes you to stumble and fall down. You're no longer in the way, you've fallen. Many people stumble because of the Lord Jesus. Because there are challenges, there are tests and trials for faith. Many find they don't get what they expected from Jesus. When they're expecting quick and easy victories in this life, they're expecting their challenges to be solved. They're expecting Jesus suddenly to come with power and make everything right. But instead, Jesus often sends us the way of the cross. He says, you're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to die to your own goals and your own dreams. You're going to have to pick up the cross and carry it. And when you've done that, I'll show you a new way. You'll rise again with new goals with me. I'll show you my plans after I've taken away your plans. We expect Jesus to make things easier and quickly. But often he says, no, I've got a different plan for you. The Apostle Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh some problem of the body that was really preventing him from his doing his ministry as he'd like. He wanted to preach and to make known Christ, but he had this trouble, this thorn in the flesh, he calls it, and he cried out to God to remove it from him. But God said, "My grace will be enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And no, I'm not going to take it away from you, but I'm going to give you my grace with you so that you can keep going even with it. And in your weakness, my power will work. That's often God's way. But many stumble. They want Jesus to make things easy and quickly. And if he doesn't, they leave him. They're offended. They say, "Jesus has let me down." Maybe not with words, but they say it in their hearts. They say it with their actions. They don't see their own sinfulness and weakness. They don't see and believe that Jesus loves them and knows better than they do. They don't trust him enough to follow after him. But Jesus says, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away because of me. Blessed is the man who believes, the one who keeps going through the trials and the challenges." Jesus says, "Wait and be patient. Wait for me. All will be revealed. Now is not the time for him to take the throne in glory, to judge and cast away the wicked." Now, before he did that, he had to go to the cross. He had to be rejected, had to suffer, had to die. And for a time he has now to be in heaven as he rules all things and brings them under his control, as he subdues all things to himself. The day for him to be revealed is not yet. Don't know which day it will be. But we must wait. Trust him. Doubts come, but take your doubts to Jesus. Things seem dark to us, but search the scriptures for more light about Jesus and what he's doing, the works of the Messiah. Keep believing in him, then you'll gain a blessing so big you can't imagine, can't describe it. Jesus says, "Here's my promise, here's my word. Blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me."